The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live on this Monday afternoon. Drizzly, rainy, but at least it is warm, and we didn't have frost last night, so I can handle it. It is an absolute delight to welcome you today. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you were a participant in a good Bible-believing church service yesterday, whether drive-in, online, or in person. There were several, mostly smaller churches that resumed in-person worship yesterday, and I'm absolutely thrilled about that. The next two or three weeks, more and more churches will be opening their services with precautions, of course, but I hope you participated in some kind of Bible-believing worship service yesterday. Joy and I had a great weekend, got a lot of things accomplished around the house, and it was a good weekend. A couple of our favorite restaurants, small restaurants in the Westerville area, open to patio seating, and we got to visit those, see some of the servers that we have missed interacting with for quite some time. So at least a tiny bit of normalcy returning to our life, and I would hope yours as well. Let me give you an update on Ravi Zacharias. Most of you are familiar with the famed Christian apologist, Dr. Ravi Zacharias, and probably most of you know that he is battling a very, very rare form of cancer. And the beginning of last week, his daughter released a statement in conjunction with Ravi Zacharias Ministries that he was returning home. Doctors had said the cancer had metastasized, and there was basically nothing else they could do. And so they gave him just a little bit of time left. He had gone to Texas for cancer treatments, and there was some optimism about the treatments. Those treatments were not effective. Anyway, Friday and Saturday, social media was absolutely filled with notices that he had passed away. Some very well-known Christian leaders posted tributes in light of the fact that it was being reported that he had died. From what I can gather, at least as of early today. He is still hanging on. He has not passed away yet. The official statement from Ravi Zacharias Ministry is the time for him to be with the Lord is drawing near. His ministry said that he smiles and nods. I'm quoting. He still smiles and nods when messages of encouragement are read to him. It appears that the time for him to be with the Lord he loved to serve is drawing near. They are reading these messages out to him, and he receives them with joy, even though he's now struggling to speak. He may either just simply smile or nod in acknowledgement and also in gratitude. Only our Lord knows how much time Ravi has. So that is the latest. Evidently, the reports of his death were not accurate. And I felt bad for one particular Christian leader, Christian comedian. I won't mention the name because I don't want to pile on it anyway. But a well-known Christian comedian posted on their social media account on Facebook and so forth that he had died. And I guess when it was discovered that was not true, some of the comments were just vicious towards this individual about spreading rumors, spreading falsehood and so forth, which is really, really unfortunate. But anyway, that is the latest that I could find out. Evidently, he is still hanging on, but it looks like he is getting very close to death. It was an interesting weekend here in Ohio, and one of the things that troubles me most about this whole COVID-19 thing, is the inconsistency with which laws, executive orders are being enforced. I think it was Friday night. Joy and I tuned on, and you know the drill for me if you listen. Joy and I listen to the first 2 or 3 minutes of the news, and then we turn it off because just I can't take it. But anyway, I think it was Friday night. The 10 o'clock news began with breaking news. The big headlines across the screen, red letters, breaking news. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what happened? Something has happened. World War III has, you know. And the breaking news was, there were a bunch of kids at a Short North bar, and they weren't social distancing. That was the breaking news. And they were flipping out. They were freaking out over, oh, my goodness, these young people. Look at here. Here's shots here. They've got camera. They got somebody on the scene. Oh, my God. The police have been called. And I'm going, oh, really? That's breaking news? A bunch of kids weren't social distancing. All right. They probably should have been, but seriously, breaking news? Well, evidently, that happened at several, particularly bars. Surprise! Bunch of people get together, drink a lot, and they don't follow the rules. Huh! Who could ever expect that? Anyway, I guess it happened all over. And one bar was cited. Now, again, the inconsistency. The one bar that was featured on Friday night in breaking news, they were given not one, not two, they were given 3 warnings and no citation. In spite of the fact that local media reported it, Fox News reported it, it was one of the major networks, NBC, CBS, ABC, one of those actually featured this bar in Columbus because they weren't social distancing. And that particular bar was given 3 warnings, no citation. One other bar was given no warnings but a citation. Okay, if you're going to enforce the rules, the laws, the executive orders, and so forth, do it consistently. Do it consistently. Anyway, things seem to be returning to normal. The U.S. government reported yesterday that none of the states that have opened up have shown any serious spikes in the number of cases. There have been some rises in the number of cases, primarily because of the increased number of tests. It's common sense. If you ramp up testing tenfold, 20-fold, 100-fold, the more people you test, the more positives you're going to get. So that's not to be, that's not unexpected at all. But the good news is there have been no significant spikes reported anywhere in any state that is opening up. And Georgia, which has been out in the front in opening up, continues to show a very sharp decline. So that's good news. It's not good news for the United Methodists. Right now, they are supposed to be meeting in Minneapolis. Well, they can't. They were going to split. So what are they going to do? I've got the story when we return. Quick break, and I'll give you the latest on the planned split among the United Methodists. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Bob Burney Live, looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. Telephone number 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Well, if the whole COVID-19 thing hadn't come up, the United Methodists from around the world would right now be wrapping up 2 weeks of meetings in Minneapolis. Yes, in Minneapolis. Easy for you to say. 2 week meeting in Minneapolis, and the major thing on the agenda was the big split. The conservative Bible believers in the United Methodist Church finally said, enough. We can no longer participate side by side with people who deny the fundamental doctrines of Scripture and who question the authority of Scripture. So a separation plan had been developed, and it was to be agreed upon during the conference in Minneapolis. No one is quite certain what the end result would be, but it was almost certain that by the end of the meeting, a plan would be approved where the conservatives would leave.
Let
me quote. The proposal, negotiated by 16 United Methodist bishops and advocacy group leaders from across theological divides, would commit $25 million to create a new conservative traditionalist Methodist denomination. Well, that's not going to happen. And it looks like the conference has not been delayed, but canceled and rescheduled for next year. Okay. I don't get that. You can Zoom, you can Vimeo, you can meet virtually. But here's what I think is happening, and this is an outsider looking in. I'm not on the inside of the United Methodists, but from what I'm reading, the liberals are hoping that the conservatives will lose their courage and just say, okay, all right, we will stick around. Let me read from the news release. Many U.S. United Methodist leaders see the delay as a blessing, allowing more time and cooler heads to consider a split. Now, if this is over biblical truth, and that's what it's about, why would you change your mind? I would hope that the conservatives do not change their mind. Now, it'd be great if the liberals would repent. I don't see that happening, although that would be wonderful. But many U.S. United Methodists see the delay as a blessing, allowing more time for cooler heads to consider a split. Reverend Kenneth Carter, resident bishop of the Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church, said, quote, "Some people have said to me, this gives us time to take our breath and see if there are new possibilities." Really? This has been going on for years. And I'm talking years. They have had committees on committees on committees on committees. Every year they would meet and they would appoint a new committee and a subcommittee and a sub-subcommittee and a sub-sub-subcommittee. And finally, several months ago, the conservatives finally stood up and said, enough! We're out of here. We're going to stand for truth. We're going to stand for the authority of Scripture, and we're leaving. The liberals have tried to put this off over and over and over and over and over. But the liberals now, by the way, the liberals are in charge of the American denomination, no doubt about it. And the liberals have said, okay, well, wow, we dodged a bullet there. We'll just put it off until next year. And maybe those conservatives will, maybe they'll rethink. I hope they don't rethink. And to be really honest, I hope they don't wait. I hope the conservative United Methodists who have said we can no longer support a denomination that denies Scripture, I hope they don't wait. Individual churches can certainly leave. So anyway, the annual meeting has been put off for a year. In fact, late August or early September of next year. We'll return.